This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 24th of September, 1963. The title of this lecture is Summary 1. This tape is 91 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. Well, back in the running here, where we were a year ago. 24, is that it? 24 Sept, AD 13. Now, this is what you're going to get your talk about today. Summary. Now, you may not be aware of the fact, completely, in a concrete way, but from the 24th of July, the lecture of the 24th of July, on down to Thursday's lecture of this week, you have a complete summary of modern Scientology on all levels and all processes on those levels. The tapes from 24 July on forward until the tapes of this coming Thursday, which is the 26th of September. And in those 25 lectures, you have a totality and summary of modern Scientology. Nothing lying outside the province of those lectures has any great validity as far as cases are concerned. There's been work over a long, long period of time. All of that work has value. It's flabbergasting how much material exists. All the basic material, of course, is of great value and quite valid. As far as technical application is concerned in the resolution of cases, you have from the 24th on through. That also happens to include presentation of Scientology to the public. This is the direct and definite result of the sprint I started on in January to speed up research along this particular line. The material which you have in your hands now is workable beyond all anybody's dream on the subject. It does not mean that a case is easy to handle, but it means that if you know this material and can apply it, you can handle the case. The finite results are beyond anything anybody had ever hoped for. This comes, oddly enough, at a time when psychology and other 19th century materials had thrown in the sponge. And the head of London Psychology Department the other day made the announcement that mental treatment did not work, and nobody was ever made well by any mental treatment of any kind whatsoever. Interesting, isn't it? They're trying to make wrong in the direction of our continued development is one of the more fantastic chapters in the area. First, they said, you know, nobody ever changed. We proved to them that people did change. So they have. Then they said, well, they could change people, and then they threw out and invalidated all of their own tests. And now as we're walking forward and so forth, why, the word is out that no psychotherapy works. There is no such thing as psychotherapy. This from people who make their total living of psychotherapy. I suppose they're going back to advising advertisers how to trick people with subliminal advertising, which was their basic function anyway. Psychology lasted its time out and is mostly devoted today to getting somebody fired who wasn't nice to him in the canteen by giving him a bad personality report or aptitude test for his job. That's cynical, isn't it? But actually, the subject must have some use. And I think maybe losing people their jobs is about the highest they ever could have attained anyway. It's really regrettable where psychology is operating on the part of industry regulating this, because regulating jobs and hirings and aptitudes for the excellent, excellent reason that they will defame themselves, you see. They'll get in trouble, and then mental healing will get in trouble. But they're now in a position where they're saying mental healing, mental treatment, things you can do with the mind, these things don't exist at all. This is the most remarkable thing anybody ever heard of, since that is the first basic on which they were founded, of course, that something could be done. They have no reason for existence. Now let's take off along that line. You, of course, have no existence as an auditor unless you can bring about a change in the case. That's terribly fundamental. That's terribly fundamental. Now, we're in the driver's position today of being able to say that if you have followed the rules, you will get a change in the case. Now, that is a horrible position to put a practitioner in, because the practitioner is then hung by the fact that if the PC didn't get a change, then it must be the fault of the practitioner in some fashion or another. Remember, it can also be the fault of the PC. Somebody goes out and spends all night in the bar and that sort of thing and comes in for his session. Somebody who is breaking rules and pushing his PTPs and over-restimulation in present time up to the zenith, naturally is influencing his own case too. I had an example of this the other day. I did my mail, U.S. mail, Sunday, and it isn't anything new or strange has happened, you see, but a terrific amount of restimulative material of one kind or another, which I immediately couldn't get at. That is to say, I couldn't get at the source of the situation right that moment. I got restimulated, and the first hour or so of my session was just about the lousiest mess I think I've looked at for some time, and for that to happen to me is a bit of a clincher. They were also running slight errors and so forth in the put-togethers of the GPMs I was running. But nevertheless, I had been working very hard and had stacked up a tremendous amount of correspondence and that sort of thing, was trying to take care of situations I couldn't take care of very directly or immediately. And I just merely felt sorry for the Washington staff. I just got to thinking about sitting there and being slugged with all this bunk that's being handed out and around, living in a highly restimulative atmosphere, a government which has apparently turned insurrectionist and is against the people and so on. And it isn't that they're doing anything really different than any other business in the United States. I made it my business one time or another to find out how bothered other businesses in the United States were. And I did a little canvas and I went all around to find out. And they're bothered, man. They're bothered. Perhaps more than we are. So that it isn't any direct action. It's just that they've got too much government. They haven't got anything to do. There isn't that much crime, so they have to invent crime, and so on. And they do. They invent it for the little shopkeeper and for this person and that person and so forth. And I just started feeling sorry for these people. Got restimulated to the degree of living in a lawless type state or a government at the behest of the powers that were. And it simply just upset me to that degree that I went straight from doing that folder, you see, straight into the session. Bang, bang, you see. Trying to cope with the bank, feeling sorry for the Washington staff, you see. Cope for the bank, you know, and so forth and so on. Terrific condition you've had it all on a present time problem, of course. But I was looking at something very directly because it wasn't a present time problem. Beyond the fact that one can't immediately say, and straighten it all out, don't you see? There was no problem connected with it. It was just a restimulation. Pure and simple, of one kind or another. Situations which exist which you can't do anything about. Don't you see? It doesn't even have to be a special RI. You see, you get the idea. You don't have to blame it on the particularities or significance of a bank, don't you see? It's just you are a being. You have certain pride, certain belief in yourself, certain confidence, certain feelings that you should be able to do things in life. You have some kind of a belief or feeling that the sphere in which you exist should be calmer because of your existence in it. You find yourself incapable of immediately affecting a result to straighten something out, and bang, restimulation. It doesn't have to be an RI on the basis of... Well, you don't have to have an RI government to be restimulated by a bunch of guys shooting at you. You get the idea. So the upshot of the situation is that a PC has a great deal of bearing on this sort of thing. If I'd had any sense whatsoever, I would have let it cook, you see, till next week or something like that. Instead, I do all this mail. I get all restimulated. I go into the session. The auditor has a horrible time. Hour or so, man, we're climbing the wall.
Too much split of attention.
Well, this becomes a very important factor in processing. Extremely important. And it is so important, it is so extremely important, that this has been the, you probably think you have seen many breakthroughs. You have, undoubtedly. But you think that they lie here and there. Actually, they lie right here in this direction. Finding PC's own goal and his present time GPM, and then finding, as you can, the two top RIs, which is his service facsimile, becomes feasible, and running the actual GPMs of the PC becomes feasible only when you handle that which hits the restimulation square on the head, which are the present time RIs, which is also the service facsimile. Those two top RIs of the actual GPM that are writing in present time are the service facsimile. The interreaction between those two RIs, that is the service facsimile. So you can approach it through R3SC. You can scoop this stuff off and get tone arm motion. You're bound to get tone arm motion in that area. Now you can go ahead and destimulate the person to the best thing that you can. Now I'll get on with the rest of the story about this particular session. It took us until the next session to find an RI. You see, it took us until the next session to find an RI that even vaguely fitted this situation. But because one was simply, you know, so something fitted the situation. And immediately we pulled that out, the restimulation diminished. But the RI wasn't even really directly connected with the restimulation, don't you see? Now, the present time environment and the present time RIs are what you as an auditor are handling. And let's not get off into a whole lot of balderdash or monkey business, because that is what you are handling. I don't care what process you are doing. R1C, any process that you are doing, you are handling the two top RIs of the PC's last GPM. Now, the reason it is possible to return to the technology which was first represented in the form of R3M2, and which is carried forward consistently under the heading of R3, and which is to be found in all the records under Routine 3, don't you see? Consistently, and which has now got to be upgraded because of the new classification levels to R4. That technology was difficult to manage simply because we didn't hit the present time GPM goal and the two top RIs of that GPM. Now, as long as you try to do the rest of the bank, the earlier goals, earlier GPMs, do earlier patterns, all of this kind of thing, your poor PC is sitting there being hammered to death on his present time GPM. Bow, 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 bow. And man, he hadn't got enough attention to put it back down the bank at all. You could almost redefine clear, only you can't achieve it technically, but you could define it theoretically as somebody who had the two top RIs destimulated or out. Just the two top RIs of the last GPM, you understand? Now that GPM has got maybe 20, 30, 40 RIs. See, it's got those reliable items. 20, 30, 40 reliable items. There they are, great, big, cracking, reliable items, you know, bung. They make a 212 item, you know, look like about as offensive as an ant at a Sunday school picnic. As compared to a jet bomber landing in the middle of the picnic table. The difference is about of that magnitude. So, what are we going to do? All processing then cones up against the two top RIs, the two top reliable items which are sitting in present time from the GPM which is sitting in present time. Now, of course, that GPM stretches back and these GPMs, the PC's actual GPM, plots against time. And the time is pretty vast for one GPM. It's also very interesting. They measure, I suppose, that the absolute minimum would be thousands of years per RI.
Minimum.
Now look at the cracks. How long do you think it'd take you to run out all the engrams of the past 200 lives of the PC? How long do you think that would take? Oh, brother, you wouldn't be able to do it. And yet that whole period is probably covered by one pair of our eyes. Now, that's fascinating, isn't it? Get those out of the way, get those things destimulated, and that whole area ceases to be aberrative. Just like that. 200 lifetimes worth of engrams gone up in smoke. Get some idea of the order of magnitude. One RI. Not just the whole Hellotrobus implants, but the bear, the gorilla, Hellotrobus, right on down to the train goals and the between lives implants. One pair of our eyes. Now, of course, some of you have been diffident, and some of you have managed to put two or three in during the period. And here and there, you're going to find somebody who was able to put a whole GPM in during the period. He was thinking about it all the time or something. He was worried about it, see? But as a general statement, I'm just giving you the order of magnitude of aberration. Well, there's the jet bomber landing in the middle of the picnic table. As compared to one ant eating one crumb at a tree remote from the table. A slight difference of value. And you got two of these confounded things sitting, riding in, and forming in the PC's present time area. Either one of those things has more qualifications and significance than the whole concept of the reactive mind as advanced by Sigmund Freud. Quite interesting, the early definition of the service facsimile carried in the glossary section of Advanced Procedures and Axioms, in the glossary section definition of it, carries the description of an RI. There is the embryonic description of a reliable item in that little definition. It's not more than a paragraph long. And it says the PC's doing it, and it says the PC's holding it in place. Quite remarkable. But that still holds good. See? We haven't veered off of that. Out of all the pieces and bric-a-brac of the mind, what is it that you have to hit? And that choice of target has been the problem in research and application of Scientology. That choice of target. What is the target? Now, naturally, one of these RIs is so capable of dispersing the PC that research work on it always finds you veering. You get in toward it, and you veer, and you get in toward it, and you veer, and you get in toward it, and you veer, and you get in toward it, and you veer. So, of course, it's been very hard to isolate it. Aside maybe from some OT at some vast period of the backtrack, some vast period in time, knew he was doing it perhaps, and found out the exact character of goals in our eyes, and perhaps left it in a document form, which was then picked up by implanters. Aside from that, except for that, as far as I know, the data is not known in the universe. It must have been somewhat on that order, because if they developed Scientology with that information, as they very well could have, they wouldn't have had to go in for implanting. See? So they went a different route. So the information must have come to them in such a way that it didn't de-aberrate the thetan. So therefore, you can apparently find, just on a guess, because implant GPMs exist, you see, and because they did have something that looked like a GPM, then one must then assume that one can find these things without de-aberrating them. One assumes that you could sketch one out or do something like this without taking the charge off of it in some way. Now, you feel that that would be pretty difficult, and actually it would be very difficult. Be fairly hard to do. But nevertheless, it's apparently, as I would say, probably been done. Otherwise, they would have had something that resembled Scientology. And if they'd had something that resembled Scientology, it would have won out along the line. Because theta always has more force than n theta, regardless of what you think. It isn't that it always wins out and that sort of thing. You actually have practically no experience with a theta communication on a social level. There practically isn't any. You say, well, if this fellow led such a good, pure life and that sort of thing, why is he getting his head kicked in? How do we know that he just isn't leading a totally withdrawn life, introverted, that is inviting the inflow? See? How do we know this? Well, we don't know this. In fact, we look it over and all the evidence is that people have redefined what a good being is. A good being is somebody who doesn't communicate. I think the stories of Harold Bell Wright and these strong, silent men which were appearing there at the beginning of this century, marvelous stories. These fellows are strong and silent, you know. He never said anything. These fellows were set up as paragons of virtue.
Isn't theta? That guy must have been crazy. Used to irritate me like mad when I was a little boy. I'd read these books and I'd my hair'd stand on end, you know. Be horrified at this, you know. I remember seeing an early silent movie one time, and the parents of some child were in vast trouble. I think I was all of about six. And they were in vast trouble, and this thing was getting more and more complicated, you see, and more and more complicated. I finally was getting awfully bored with it, and the two companions I was with were more than bored with it, you see. And I remember explaining to them that the whole thing was silly, because why didn't they just communicate with each other? Now, therefore, one very seldom sees a straight communication line. And the power of Scientology based on straight communication lines and that sort of thing. You see, over the years, we've had a history that apparently, well, it permits somebody who was in Kansas City to write me a letter, which was in my standing order number one lines yesterday. He had attended some original lectures, and he'd followed my ups and downs, mostly downs. Look at this, you know, it's astonishment. I suppose when you read an AMA regulated press or that sort of thing, you might possibly get this wild impression, you see. Unless you look at the growth graphs of organizations and other things over the years, you actually have to remember how it was maybe in 1955 or something to give yourself a real shock. And here it goes. Now, you think this FDA thing and income tax nonsense and that sort of thing in Washington, D.C. amounts to anything. What it amounts to is, I'm just sorry that the kids or staff there are upset. Mainly sad. About all, they haven't got prayer. Those poor guys have been climbing the barber poles all over America. They've been trying to find somebody who would really complain about Scientology. And they released their witnesses the other day. We've not heard of them. We have none of these people in our central files. We have no record of most of their people. But one of them was an FDA agent who attended class for some time and then blew. Name was Quinn. And they advanced this as a witness and so forth. Well, now, what can that man testify to? That he's actually seen a meter cure somebody? Not in an HCA class. Actually, we're gradually mounting up a very heavy casualty schedule against the government. Very heavy. The FDA has now been forbidden to make such raids.
The uproar which has come about in general is rather historic up on Capitol Hill. People are nervy about this. You did a good job getting letters in to the government and that sort of thing, you see. The attorney who first handled it has slowed down the government case like mad because the guy studied it for a long time and then went down with very serious illness. He couldn't bring himself to attack this. The casualty figures are growing, and they still aren't getting any place. Well, they're going to have a trial of some kind or another, and they're going to hear a lot of things. And they've been going all over the place trying to find some evidence. But sitting back of that, I've already seen this function several times. They know they are lying, and they know the more evidence they collect that they are attacking something which is good and decent and beneficial. And they know they have to be lying in their teeth. And when they start somebody to investigate it, he comes up against the fact that makes him wrong. So he gets sort of interbulated and savage and so forth, but he keeps trying. But he just gets wronger and wronger the more he tries, don't you see? And we have had far more serious things on the back track than the FDA. One of the things you don't realize is the old man sat there somehow or another and kept the lid on. In the early years, I was very discouraged from, I mean, everybody advising me never to say anything, you see, about these things, never to put in any Itzeline on the stuff that was happening because it would interbulate everybody. I think it was a terrible mistake, but in the early years, I was overridden. You have to defer to somebody else's opinion on these things now and then, particularly in that zone and time. But much more serious things have occurred, which had greater threat value in all directions. Why, we've had federal court actions to seize every single piece of research and so forth. I have been sued for using my own name on the material. There are very serious actions along the way. None of these things succeed. So if anybody had ever developed Scientology, you wouldn't have the universe you have. That's what you have to adjudicate about the thing. It'd be perfect, with perfect aplomb, we could import it into Russia. We could give them all the plots for implant GPMs. We could give them all the material. We could give them everything that you could possibly think of. Give them the material, let them study it, let them fool around with it, let them fool around with some techniques. We must have techniques, however, that they can understand and do in an elementary fashion. I was very interested. An old-timer was down here this afternoon, and she hadn't been anywhere near Scientology for a long time, and she wanted to know how to handle her. One of her relatives was upset with her mother's death, and I was very interested to be able to give her the Itzeline on solutions, you see, and decisions with regard to her mother. That's all she'd had to do and keep the girl talking. She dug this at once. That seemed to be a very reasonable thing to do, and there it was, you see. Terrifically easy communications, communication of a process, no complications involved in it. Well, that's what makes Theta is actually the ease of reach, the ease of the communication of what you're doing. N-theta, interbulated theta, becomes interbulated only by going through numerous vias. It's vias which interbulate the thing because it no longer is a straight line, don't you see? I had a big problem the other day. Why don't Thetans use weapons? That's quite a problem. I've been trying to solve it for some little time. Why don't they use tools? I got very intrigued with this. Why don't they use tools? And so on. I remembered one bloke I collided with, much to my own disaster, by the way, a long time ago. And he was using tools. He was using a scoop of some kind or another to make a C. He was a tool-using Thetan. He really did me in at a particular time. I was in a queasy enough state to permit myself to be done in. But there he was using tools. And I wonder why we never use tools, you see. And I got to thinking about the caveman could defeat the tree top man because the caveman used stone tools, you see, and the tree top man wasn't using tools. And I was trying to figure out how the free Thetan, you see, lost his dominance. You see, and exactly how he sort of lost out.
I've been trying to go over this and go over this. You find this is quite a problem. How has he lost out, don't you think? What are the factors involved with it? Well, this is way up ahead. See, this is Scientology 5. You have to know answers to this situation. And I found out, finally, why he doesn't use tools. Why you never use tools and why you don't like to use tools. In the first place, you don't need them. And in the second place, you get the idea of using, well, let us say, using an ice cream scoop.
See? Over here, into the ice cream, see?
Well, actually, you've got to withhold the length of the ice cream scoop. Get the idea? See, you're holding back just to that slight degree. All right, let's take another one. Instead of knocking somebody's head off who is in your road, you pull a gun and shoot him. You realize that you just figured out this is a little fun to make a test on with yourself. See, you get the idea of doing something to somebody on a via. And if you go through the mechanisms of trying to do something to somebody on a via, you'll get the idea of withholding ability. And you suddenly realize that you're on a withhold. And then you begin to realize you must be withholding ability. You're withholding the ability of knocking the guy's head off yourself. Why are you doing it with this gun? No matter how intriguing and entrancing it might be to use a gun, it is still a withhold. You see, you start studying this out, and therefore, thetans who are in pretty good shape have never used tools. And those who have used tools make up populations such as convict planet Earth, which probably is far higher toned than the organization and political organization that runs this planet. All of which is speculative. But as far as that's concerned, tools appear to be so good, but actually bring about a downfall. How do you figure this? Well, why is it that there are races on the planet right now which are apparently stronger and more powerful than the white race? See, white supremacy now talk of as a myth in most of these publications and so forth. Well, it isn't, but they talk about it like that. Well, what happened? Well, actually, you have some racial virulence, you see, amongst those who haven't been corrupted by a lot of tools and dependencies. You see, you still have some vitality. I don't care if these fellows, it isn't just necessary, the colored races. Let's take some Berbers or something like this. And they haven't been sitting every day looking at a television set, you see. And that sort of thing. Now all of a sudden we move those fellows up within reach of the possibility of achieving some political dominance, don't you see? They have vitality, they have ideas, they have these various things, and they give the appearance, you see, virulence and
muscles. They give this appearance. Now, culturally, the democratic system opened the door, but in actual fact, no aristocratic system. It isn't actually a problem, you see, in nationalities. Not a problem in nationalities at all, or a problem in color, or a problem in any of these things. It is simply a problem in what group is the least corrupted or decayed by modern civilization. Now, if you stop and think for a moment, the Greek civilization once dominated the entirety of Earth's civilization. It was well before the Roman, and the extent of the Greek civilization was probably wiped out by Roman history rewriting. These blokes wiped out, the Roman wiped out the actuality of Greek history. You have to actually go out to India and get your feet dirty with the red clay
to really find out that the history book, as you read in Western civilization, isn't correct. Alexander the Great didn't go charging out to India and say, "Oh, too bad, I have no more worlds to conquer, gather up his army and come all the way home and kick the bucket or something." This was maybe a shallow look at it, but in actual fact, Greek administration was established in India. It was not a shadow. They were once administering India. What's this? That's quite wild. Look at the sway and zones and dominance of early Greek civilization. And it was huge. It was big. And those it was big enough so those communication lines still exist today. You go down to Athens, they think they own the world still. They haven't found out they haven't. They speak of our colonies in Spain. Our Iberian colonies, the guitar, Greek instrument, of course. That's right. They have sort of this atmosphere. And you look around, you'll see that there's an awful lot of Greek flags on the high seas. Tremendous shipping entrants are Greek. The lines and shadows of the lines of that ancient civilization are still in. And if you don't think they've made the grade in some directions, Greek philosophy absolutely dominates all Western thinking. You're living in the shadow, you see, of an ancient civilization. And if you said today, well, the Greek is a menace to world peace or something like this, everybody looked at you sort of blankly. What a weird remark to make, don't you see? Because the Greek civilization is not militant. Greek went through a tremendous period of conquest and dominance, and her people were very, very down to earth, crude, rugged, tough, one blow type gents. See, these were tough boys. And they spread their dominance out through the known world at that particular time. And then somebody started working them over, and the next thing you know, they had this and they had that. One of the reasons why the Greek nightclub, the idea of nightclubs is Greek. You see. And you get the reason why they are so adept. You, by the way, go to a nightclub in Athens, you get far better entertainment than the best one in New York. And this nightclub in Athens, you see, they think, well, what do Greeks stand for as a floor show? Well, it has to be a very, very high-level show, and it has to go on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. New York, they come out and do a tap dance and disappear. See, that's not the Greek. How did they get to this high level of entertainment? It must have been their last method of conquest. They can't any longer knock the invader out, see? But when he arrives, they can say, "What a good fellow you are," and have a good entertainment, and have something to eat, and some nice wine. And the guy said, "These Greeks are nice people." It was the last method of defense. Do you see this? They could still handle somebody on a highly introverted basis and so forth. They hadn't entirely disappeared along this particular line. But there is the probably the greatest civilization on this planet. And look how far down you might conceive it now, because if I said this was one of the greatest powers on earth, you would say, "What the hell is he talking about right this minute?" You see? You fly over Greece, you see their denuded hillsides, you see the stuff couldn't grow there anymore, that's all. And you look at their coasts and the harbors and that sort of thing. It's shot, man. But what's going to happen? You see another great empire, the Roman Empire. I don't know if there might even be some political official on earth today still he calls himself the Holy Roman Emperor. I think there possibly is one, isn't there? Who is it, the Pope or somebody? Or did it die out with the Hohenzollerns? I don't know. But I'm sure the title is active. I bet if you dreamed up in all directions, looked every place, you'd wind up with the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. quite fascinating. Various aspects have taken place, but Roman civilization is far more present right at the present moment than you live. You see, you've got this cycle now going, the Greek civilization, you see about where it is. The Roman civilization is perhaps a little more so. We still had it still could resurge in the form of Mussolini and scare everybody to death before it folded up, you know, in World War II. It's still got a little power in it. You still have Roman lines, you see, out. It's interesting that in England, they're trying to get rid of their Roman background. They say, well, it was a long time ago, and it's all different, and so forth, and up and down the street walk these fellows, direct descendants of Romans, you see. You look at them, their faces and everything, you see, walking up and down the street, same size, same everything, you see. You go around, you look at the ideas of British liberty, and this country has got the greatest background for jurisprudence and material of that particular kinds and legislative system and so on. It was just the furthest thing from Rome in which Roman jurisprudence was implanted. And it survived a long time. Magna Carta, other stuff, you see. That's the old Roman Empire, you know, just going along, doing its business, stable data on this subject. But of course, they have to kind of get rid of that. Kind of have to get rid of that because it's a zone and area of dominance. There are various other reasons why it had to be gotten rid of, because this started to work when the Angles and the Jutes and so forth came in here. They had to get rid of this thing. And they had to establish first a Danish and then a Saxon civilization and so on. And they had to keep saying, it isn't a Roman province. It belongs to us. And everybody'd say, Heil, see? You're the conquerors. And they never really did knock it in the head. And this thing keeps revolting. Because these ideas were good ideas, don't you think? And these ideas keep reaching forward in time. They had usability. And you have a very strong civilization here, which in its turn was a great empire. We're just now at the period where it's trying to give it away. I don't know why it's trying to, but it is. I don't know. I think it makes more lords or more seats in the United Nations or something. But a lot of stuff is going on at this present time. They talk more about the disintegration of the empire than it actually is, but I notice right now it's having trouble in Indonesia. See? It's got new problems now. This new empire has new problems. It's a newer empire. It's now considered an old empire. It's now considered that the British, they don't even call it imperial anymore. Things are all commonwealthian, don't you see? Bits of it are being taken off one way. Not really necessary that it go in this particular direction, but its force and power in the world today is tremendous. Its amount of finance, manufacturing potential, and so forth, there isn't anything on the United States. And yet the United States looks at things British and says, aye, yes, sir, yes, oh, yes, my lord. And they're really scared to spit, unless they ask the permission. So here is your next cycle. See, here is the British Empire. See? And then you got Johnny Come Lately, empire called the United States. It's been going and trying to spread all these various sentiments in all directions and handle and pound and buy friends and do this and show everybody that they're all set and put shipping lines in. Their manufacturing potential is flooding into the rest of the world today. The same way that in 600, 500 A.D. or even in 100 A.D., the pots and linens of Rome were flooding into England. And here we have this new empire. See? And it's hardly an empire. You can't quite put your finger on it because it isn't the right thing today to say, I own, don't you see? And no, it's taken its responsibility in the world. It's pushed out ahead of everything. And it's going along here at a great rate of speed and trying to make its way forward and so forth. Don't make any mistakes about it. It's trying to become a dominant empire. Whatever it's saying, that is what is happening. You see. And it's looked on rather intolerantly by a bunch of other fellows who are sitting around who have already been the root. And they say, well, yes. Got the idea.
because I've been describing to you four GPMs on the third dynamic, which apply totally on the first, because that's just the way a GPM acts. Got the idea? Just as you, to some tiny fragment at this moment, are influenced by the Greek civilization, so you would be tinily influenced by the fourth GPM back. And just as today you're very much more, but not much really, influenced by the Roman Empire, you see, you still have some influence on it, but that's the third GPM back, you see. And now we got the American Empire, and it's actually blown its cork, and we have a new empire already forming called an internationalism. And it's stumbling around, and it hasn't got a grip on anything, and mostly it's a matter of confusion. And that would be your present time GPM. The two RIs on it right now, God knows, I don't know quite what they would be. But there are two RIs from the United Nations. I don't know what it was. Maybe Wendell Willkie put it in when he said, one world, or something like that. The goal, possibly, to have one world, you know, something like that. Yet everybody's sort of believing and working dynamically, very dynamically, in the direction of creating just one world. And if you want to really get somebody's attention and so on in a shop in England or in Greece and so forth, you talk to him about the decay of nationalism. And he will pretty well agree with you that it is now internationalism that exists. See? He'll kind of beat the drum a little bit with you, too, for internationalism and so on. That's a forming GPM. We don't know where that one's going to go, but that's very truncated. We actually have already seen the top-up terms of the American Empire. We've already seen them. They're going into history rapidly. But still be influenced over a fabulous period of time. Don't monitor, say it's left. But the new force is this. Now, what are you affected by right this minute? Actually, you're affected more by the decay of the American Empire, without tracing why. Well, it's got to have money. It's got to maintain fantastic commitments. It's got to maintain all kinds of defenses. It's in a frantic state. Don't you see? Its people are sort of against it, but they're not for it. But their dream of liberty has dwindled, you see. They don't have that anymore. Maybe it was like the goal to be free, don't you see? Something went on here, don't you see? But you still, we get the kickback of this particular thing. But the dynamic our eyes in the present time are, how can we live all together without having an atomic war? Maybe that's one pair back, don't you see? We might have another one forming right this minute. It would take a very careful analysis to look at exactly what was forming on the third dynamic that we could call a top, existing top our eyes. See? Well, we haven't gotten rid of these last two top our eyes, international war and atomic fission, or whatever the two top our eyes are, don't you see? You follow this? Well, now, that's the picture with every PC you're operating on. That's his picture. Now, we're going to enter his case, see? We're going to enter his case, and we're going to say, all right, now, we're going to get, I suppose a Greek civilization could have said, to spread Greek culture, see, or to culture everyone if it kills them, some tight goal. To be cultured, maybe that would be its goal, see? Something like that, or maybe that was a later day goal. Was certainly to conquer. Possibly to conquer. Maybe that's the GP. Maybe the Roman one was just simply to govern well. But now, we take this PC, see? Let's call him a world. Let's call him this PC called world. And we're going to say, now we're going to straighten you all out now, world. We're going to run out the top our eyes of the GPM Greek civilization.
Go ahead, go out here on the street right now and tell the world, you see, that you're now going to run out, you're going to make the world well, you're going to run out the Greek civilization. And you know, I don't think you're going to get anybody to agree with you at all. You could tell them, well, now look, if you just get rid of Plato. See, that's a big R.I. there, and Ryle I mean, if you just get rid of Plato, see, you'd be all set.
Plato.
You'd list the thing, and the fellow would say, yeah. But he'd really only do that so long as all the other GPMs were in place, don't you see? There comes a time when he could be very interested in the Greek civilization, don't you see? Not right now. The world would say to you, all right, you're going to run out the Greek civilization. Well, what about these atom bombs? Wouldn't that the response which you'd get? And that's the same response you get from the PC, only you're not given to know exactly what the top RIs are of the PC when you start auditing it. On the face of Earth, you can see quite obviously it must have something to do with international war and atom bombs. See, that's very visible to you. But there's the PC sitting there. Now, what the hell is he stuck in? We don't know. But in actual fact, the influence upon him in GPMs, his ancient Greek one, thought that he was in ancient Greece, see, to conquer. See, that GPM, that's still influencing him. Roman, to govern well, see? British Empire, something on the other, to have freedom of the seas or something like this. I don't know what that GPM was. Whatever it is. See? Yeah, all those influence him. Oh, yes, you could get tone arm, little tone arm action. Yeah, you could get some interest and so forth. And all the time he's doing that, he's got one eye cocked up at the sky to see whether or not that mushroom plume has formed yet. Yeah, Plato. Let's see, against Plato, there were poisoners, or that was Socrates. Did you hear an airplane go overhead? All right. Now, let's get back, and let's list this out here a little bit. Let's see now. Thermopylae, Marathon, and so on. What was that? Did you hear something? Sound to me like somebody crying an extra out on the street, you see. I heard the word Russia. What was it? Oh, well, it wasn't anything. Let's get back into session now. I wonder what it was. Get the idea of split attention? Well, he's got two top RIs that have just split his attention just that much. All the time. They might not look very logical to you, but they'll sure look logical to him. Let's say it's got an op term, child murderers. Child murderers, you see. And with the RI, police officer. See, they determine all police officer versus child murderers, you see. That's his own actual GPM. He's sitting right up here in present time, don't you see? And you, miss, come to the auditing session as the auditor in a blue dress with some brass buttons on it. In this particular session, you can't figure out why you didn't get particularly much tone arm action. The PC was sort of nervous all the time, don't you see? And so on. He seems to be very fixated on you, and the ARC breaks sort of very easily. And you can't find out what it was. Actually, if you assess the whole environment, you might be able to find out something about it. And it might lead you in toward it, and I won't discount it as a method of finding somebody's service facsimile. But you're just looking at some re-stimulator of some kind or another. Now, what are those things? Well, those things are the two topped formed items which extend from a goal which may be as new as the United Nations or actually as old as the United States, don't you think? It may be brand new and it may have very few items in it, or it may be quite old as a goal, and it may have a lot of items in it. He may be almost any place in the formation of that particular bank, but it is that goal which has its immediate command value over the PC. And you'll find as you drop back from it, you have right into the top of the next goal just below, you will have influence on present time. You won't solve all of his problems by those two top RIs only, don't you see? Because you've got these other GPMs which are influencing him. And the influence, however, ceases. Well, let's put it this way. The influence has total command value. The two top reliable items of present time has total command value over the PC. Total. Unquestioning, unseen, just any flicker, any whisper of any of this, of any kind whatsoever, finds him going, salute, 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 yes, sir, you have to do it right, oh, you'll worry about it, yeah, oh, comply, see, Frank, you know, total. Just below that, merely desperate. The next two RIs, you see. Next couple of RIs, worry all the time, worry about them, think about them, hoping they won't occur, worry about them, but they're in a state of worry. And a couple of RIs just below that and sort of thing, a sort of a dull feeling of apprehension. Constant and continuous dull feeling of apprehension. Actually, all those emotions are combined in present time. We get much earlier than that, we get an idea of sort of enduring it, whatever the goal is, you know, well, we must all die sometime, and he's sick. And have to brace up to, you know, face it. You know, that type of a situation, but now you're about six pairs down the line, you see? And that's the kind of present time reaction he would have to that, you know, well, If I can front up to it, I can probably endure it. That type of reaction, don't you think? And you get about 8, 10 back. It's, oh, well, that's life. Nothing you can do about that. That's just the way life is. That's life. Might as well be philosophic. In other words, that's about how his attention is spread over the dozen pairs that are immediately adjacent to present time. His attention cones down in terms of less and less desperate, but still with him. And then it goes off into, these things influence my life, and once in a while he's noticed that he's done something peculiar in this particular direction. He hasn't thought about it particularly, don't you see? You get earlier and earlier that. Actually, his present time attention isn't on him at all. See, but can flip into him and out of him, see? All right. Now, these immediate RIs and that compose with their goal the immediate present time GPM. See? Those aren't the things which make the PC concerned with present time. They're the things which make it impossible for him to get his attention off of the things he's concerned with in present time. Get the idea? He can't change his mind. It doesn't mean that if those were all gone and he saw a kid's bicycle run over in the middle of the street, he'd feel nothing. See? I mean, but the presence of those things means he can't take his attention off of it.
His automatic response to the situation, you see, is big, and he's not able to sleep that night. He gets a very heavy, higher level of effect from this sort of thing, you see. He can't change his mind with regard to these things. So that observations which come in upon him have tremendous influence with him to the degree that he really can't shift his mind on them. Regardless of the significance of the operation, we do know that he now lacks fluidity or power of choice over his reaction to his observations. In other words, when something happens in present time, he's stuck right there with it, and that's all he can do about it. So he comes into session, and you say, well, put in the it's a line on what you've been doing since the last session. And he's, and so on, he talks and talks, and he's desperately trying to suppress it and get rid of it. He really can't get his head off of it, don't you think? He has a hard time feeling better about it. See the difference? And you have to work and work and work and work, and then you get half of his attention off of it, and now you've got enough attention to maybe run a bit of bank. Makes very rough auditing, very hard on the PC. And it doesn't give you such a situation of tremendous sin on the part of the PC by reason of auditing if you, well, duck back down the track and take stuff that isn't in particular re-stimulation, but he can run it, you can put his attention on it, you can do something with it, don't you see? What you got to do is tackle head-on. You got to tackle it head-on with his case. Now, whether you call that R1C over things he's concerned with and has been solving in this lifetime, don't you see that that's undoing the two top RIs? Or whether or not you do it with a bunch of ARC break assessments, which is less good, but nevertheless is very spectacular as it works, R2H. Or whether you do it in the direction of R3SC, just as given, you're still working with those two top RIs in present time restimulation. Now, you can actually destimulate the case using, in that gradient, those processes which I just mentioned, bring it up to a point where the individual might be able to see a goal like he sees to govern well. See? He says, wow, all right, that's a nice goal. Yeah, that obviously my present time goal, that's good and safe, see? You run it, you can find a couple of top RIs. They don't seem to have too much to do with the situation, and his appreciation for wine rises. And say, well, that's interesting. In view of the fact he doesn't drink wine, what good is it, see? But you find you've taken off some present time re-stimulation. You're handling this situation. Or you have reached back and found to govern well, and you've opposed that, and you've gotten to rule the seas. See? And then to free everybody, maybe that was the United States goal, you see. And then you've opposed that, and you've got to have one world. Ah, oh man, we're getting someplace now, but boy, is that stuff hard to read. It's starting to fly apart. The case is starting to fly apart. You're getting tone arm action like mad as you're doing this sort of thing. But there is a point, and I warn you on this, you need the warning, because you veer off. There is a point as you approach PT when the auditing, re-stimulation, by reason of the bank and the goal and that sort of thing, not from finding the goal, you'll get away with that, see. Let's say we found the PT-GPM, the kickback and the non-confront of those top RIs is so great that it may obscure the actual PT goal. You may have to free everybody, the one of the U.S. Empire, don't you see? And go right along as though that's the top GPM. See? And everything reads that way, and your Ouija boarding the meter reads that way, and everything goes along here gorgeously, don't you see? The top GPM, obviously. Don't be so amazed after you've tackled it for a while and tried to get its top RIs and done some other things with it to all of a sudden find to have one world.
There it sits. Where did it come from? And then don't be surprised if you have a very rough time listing the PC. Because you're running the PC in the middle of his living lightning, Mac. You're reaching into the middle of the gallbladder and pulling it out, roots and all, don't you see? Now, it isn't the PC will run badly or anything like that up to a point. You'll be able to get in, but you will run into this action. Then when you start approaching these last dozen pairs, it'll keep reading all the time that there are no pairs above them. Always read that you've got the last pair. You may have 10 pairs above you, see? And it'll, oh yes, this is the two top RIs, your Ouija boarding it, see, he's no confront on these things getting terrific because it's right up here in present time. Damned atom bombs liable to go off at any minute, don't you see? Dangerous to get near this situation, see? Any solution you might have to it, like he's got an RI, let us say, a duck. See? That's the solution to the atom bomb, duck. You get anywhere near that thing, why, man, you're running in charged-up bank. Because it's got hanging on it. Every part and particle of the universe he has any connection with in this present time is hanging on it, is re-stimulated by it, is cross-re-stimulated into it. Well, this is why we weren't able to find it. It isn't that they're downgraded. This is why earlier we veered off again and didn't finish up the actual GPM to amount to anything. That was because it required more technology to really tackle it well. Because right now, with the technology you get, which is listing by tone arm, not rocket read, that technology right there, when you start for the last dozen pairs that are right up leading up here into PT, is going to give you not an ARC breaky PC, but an exasperated, worried, upset, frantic, desperate PC who won't be able to get the item on the list in most cases without going through a complete snit. You'll hear things like this. But I told you, I keep putting it on the list. It's already on the list. There it is, it is. You're getting the incomplete list ARC break. It's already on the list. I keep saying it. I tell you what the item is. It's duck. Fast. And that's all it is. I've had the idea since you first began the list. I know what it is. It's like, I can't get it on the list. It, damn you, you just never rocket reads for you. Why don't you look at your meter? All right, I'll list for a while longer. Farmyards. Parachutes. Caves. Holes. Quacking loudly. But it's the same one. It's the same eye. I know what it is. You can expect that quite routinely. It isn't really an ARC break. It's really not quite a dramatization. He actually, quite honestly, feels totally desperate. It's just that. He just feels totally desperate. So you want to make awful darn sure that when you start listing at an item, you're already listing from a right goal. Don't make any mistakes like this, because if you make a little bunch of technical mistakes at a slightly wrongly worded goal. You see, you Ouija board the thing. There's always a Ouija board, these things, when you start moving into this area. Ask questions like, is this a correct goal? Is this an incorrect goal? Is it correctly worded? I don't care if you get a reading, it's a correct goal. Go on and analyze it. See?
Have we skipped to GBM? Is it the PT one? Is there anything incorrect about its wording? Go through your little act, see, and look this thing over. You all of a sudden find there's a word missing on it or something like this, or it's too long. Don't call the PC out, because look, supposing you've just got a wrongly worded goal, and then you find a slightly wrong item for it, and it moves up into these critical pairs I'm talking to you about. And then you start listing against it, and you already have set up the probability of a desperate PC who'll get desperate before he manages to complete that list, see? Oh, man, you've got good reason now for him to be ARC broken and desperate. You can half kill a PC with that way. So dynamite. You're listening. Dynamite. Pure dynamite. So never take a chance. See? Every time you find an RI, you see, is this an RI from this GPM? Is it from another GPM? You see? Is it correctly worded, you see? Is it so on? All of these things you go over with this thing. Was the list complete that it came off of, don't you think? And the test of the item you're listing from, does it tick? And how does it compare, you see? Go over this little analysis on that RI, because you're already putting this boy over the jumps, madly putting him over the jumps. Because if it's a right goal, a right RI, and you're opposing this right RI, it's an absolutely correct, reliable item, and you're busy opposing that in the very best textbook, absolutely correct fashion, your PC is liable to, not always, not for every one of them, he won't go through this, but he's liable to get in a terrifically desperate ARC breaky, screaming state of mind. He won't be able to quite approach it. Don't you see? The reason why he can't, obviously, it's this data substituted for him. And he gets into the vicinity of it, he veers right off of it, don't you see? And he can list all around the edges of it, don't you see? I had one last night, I sure know what I'm talking about. No having. Can't have. Going to pieces on the thing. Finally turned out it to be not having. Just T missing. Yes, but the second it was hit, the bank went boom, boom. One RI, splat. Blew up, practically blew up the meter. But not can't have. That can blow up the meter. And not the other 9 pages of lists which went with it. All of it, you see, delivering terrific tonearm action the whole way. But going up, up, up. See, listing by locks, you would list the tonearm action out. That's your 212, listing by lock rules. Well, now you're doing this R4MTA. Well, if the tonearm action goes out of it, you haven't got it on the list. If there is the faintest, tiniest twitch, microscopically viewed, of the needle when he gives another item, you haven't got it on the list. Now, your old R3M2 listing goes, well, you list it and you go 25 beyond, that's all right, and you didn't have any RIs. So you read the next to last rocket reading item, and the thing didn't rocket read. You read the last item, and it rocket read, and bang. That's all simple. That's 212 lock listing, and it's absolutely guaranteed to give you locks. And you can oppose locks against locks against locks against locks, and you could probably find thousands of them in one GPM. Thousands of them. You could have a line plot 5 to 10,000 items long. You could take 1,000 hours of auditing to clean up one. It's how you got these long line plots. It's how you went skidding out of one GPM into another GPM. It's how you got items listed backwards. See? You got to list the tone arm action into it, and only then have you got an RI. And then your tone arm, you'd be surprised how hard it is to do sometimes. And the PC says, "Oh, let's turn on a little bit of mass," and he just starts gratuitously giving, "Well, that isn't it." Gives you some more arms, and the next thing you know, that needle's going slash, slash, tick, tick, slash. Oh, man, if a needle is going tick and slash on a list, you have got it. No RRs, it's just the needle, the list. The action of listing is giving the needle ticks and slits, and that list is not complete. I don't care how desperate the PC looks. You want to be awful sure then what you're listing up against. You want to be awful sure that that's the correct goal. No chances. You want to be sure that that RI that you already have found came from a list that you did have the main RI on. And I've drawn you pictures of RIs, and they're great big massive thing surrounded by a lot of ball bearings. And you can just find any God's quantity, these small ball bearing type RIs and shells. They sometimes look like onions, too. You can find any quantity of layers on them, any quantity of items lying around them. They all rocket read. So the test is not whether it rocket read. Test is it gave you so much tone arm action. That it obviously has knocked the bottom out underneath that particular vicinity of bank, and that listing further items doesn't give you a tick and a click or a slash. The tone arm action is listed in. You'll occasionally see your needle go up to four and a half. I mean, your tone arm go up to four and a half, and your needle is gone sluggish and sticky. You say, "Oh my God, what am I doing?" You know, because there it is stuck, and your needle isn't moving very much, and the PC is getting edgy. It says there aren't any more. There just are no more items on this list. There's no more. Nobody can think of another item on the list. There aren't any more. You can only say it so many ways, and I've said them all. It's up to you at that moment to be very diplomatic. Well, just for fun, give me one more. I even have pulled this gag right or wrongly. You haven't given me feathers yet. Oh, haven't I? All right, feathers. And you'll see that tone arm come down, and all of a sudden, you'll hit one of these blowdown areas. They'll give an item, it'll give a blowdown, be followed by a fall, be followed by a blowdown, be followed by another blowdown. And it's way down here, and it goes lower, and all of a sudden you're up and down, and it's action, and so on, and so on. And you look over here, and that needle will be slashing. So don't stop the PC to read them. That needle's moving. What are you doing? Why stop to read them? The needle's moving. As the PC lists, the needle is moving, so obviously you don't have the item on the list. Because when you get the RI, it kills all action on the list. It kills all ticks on the list. It kills all slashes on the list. It kills all RRs on the list. And sure doesn't kill TA motion. That's the one thing it doesn't kill. Because he just thinks about TA and you'll get... You will get blowdown motions of the TA. You'll see it going... Needle, see, going. You try to read sometimes as you're listing through one of these blowing down needles. You can get these blowing down needles without finding the RI. The question is, now when you read a little blowdown area back to the PC, did anything tick? Did it slash once? You better make a list of these. Did it tick? Did it slash once and then not slash again? Does it read when the PC says it, but not when you say it? Well, it's not the RI. That's not the RI. Did two items go faintly tick, and then the next one go tick? You haven't got an RI on that list because two items went tick. Ah, yes, you say, but I'd better get in the midroots. I'd better get in, suppress and careful of, and fail to reveal, and invalidate and suggest, and mistake, and protest, and anxious about, and decide. And if I got all those in, maybe I could make it read, save your time, man, save your time. Get in your session midroots if you want to. But don't try to make an item read. Because you couldn't stop an R.I. from reading with an anvil parked against your needle. So I repeat, just as you've just listed there, if you call it once and it goes,
and then if you call it again, it doesn't do anything. That's not it. You call it once and it goes a little tiny slash and so forth. There's no sense in sitting there. Has this item been suppressed and so forth and so on? There's no sense in it. What's the difference? Did it give you a laggardly fall?
No blowdown. When you gave him the item, you got no blowdown. Not the item. I don't care if you didn't give it to him or not. You just said the item. You got no blowdown. Two items ticked on the list, much less two RR'd. Oh, my God, you're getting up into orders of magnitude. Two items fell. Two items slashed. Oh, forget it, man. Get out of there. That's. If any item after it slashed, ticked, clicked, did anything, you haven't got it on the list. It isn't on the list. Because when the RI, an RI, comes on that list, you'll get expert. You finally won't make any mistakes at all. First time you'll say, oh, gee, look at that beautiful blow down there. Look at that, oh, lovely tonar motion. Yeah, oh, yes. Well, let's read it back to him. Oh, well, one of the items ticked, but the other one sure reads nicely. Well, give that to him, you see, and we'll list against it, and your PC will start getting sort of green. And this one is going off the rails in an awful hurry. You finally find the item you're listing from continues to tick. If you eventually came back to it and continued your list, you'd find out that he would have put four more items on with the TA mortally less motionless. And then all of a sudden, you get twice as much blowdown as you had before, and twice as much commotion. So you say, well, gee, that's all a commotion a meter can produce. I've never seen that much commotion before on a meter. So that's obviously an RI. That Ron really knows what he's talking about, because that really is an RI. Look at the amount of tonar motion in that thing, bro. Wow! See? It isn't it. You'll have experience with this. Can think nothing of going through six areas on a list where the meter falls apart and blows down and blue smoke comes out of the corners. Think nothing of it before the real RI goes on the list. Because when it goes on the list, it is totally unmistakable. Anything else the PC puts on the list now, as he says it, will not disturb the needle. But you'll be getting... You'll have to read between the fact that your needle is moving to give you TA blowdown. But he says these items, nothing happens. Says there are no slashes, there's nothing. You read it back to him again, it goes and blows down and goes and he cognites and everything, and he finally tells you that's it. You sometimes give him the item, and the PC, if he has any honesty whatsoever, you give him the item and it flicked, ticked. Duck feathers, things that come out from ducks. He start giving you items again. Quite common. He recognizes this thing turns on, it doesn't do anything for him. So you realize you've given him a wrong item of some kind. So he just goes on listing, so never stop him from listening. Anything that turns on a lot of energy and mass and black ridges and that sort of thing, that isn't the item, that's all. And you just have to get used to it. You'll have to get used to one, being awful doggone sure that when you find the PC's own goal, it's easy to find PC's own goals today. But when you do find it, make sure it's the right wording. Make sure that you are listing the present time goal. When you find an item, let's make sure it is the right item and so forth. And one little note before I cancel it off here. co-term. There is no such thing as a co-term. That's the same RI appearing as a terminal and an op-term in the same GPM. And very rarely appearing in two different GPMs. Same item appearing in two GPMs, but it appears as a terminal, appears as an op-term, so of course it looks like it's a co-term. So it's both. And that was the mystery of the co-term. I've now plotted it all down, straightened it all out. Drive you mad. I mean, this item, the inability to duck or something of the sort. You see, it's halfway down one bank, and it's the top terminal and the middle op term. And it just takes that poor bank, and it just ties it in a pretzel. And you finally list against one side, and you list against the other side. You don't know which side you're on, and so forth. Well, go ahead and list it, but you know what you're doing. Now, anyway, there's the score with regard of R4-MTA. This is the final product of this sort of thing you're actually handling all the time, whether you're chipping in on it from the top, tickety-tick, with a little tack hammer, with R1-C, that sort of thing, as long as you get tone arm action. You're carving down toward those two top RIs, and you're carving down to the top of GPM. There's nothing else to carve down to. Doesn't matter what you run, you're running those. And when you find the GPMs and move it on up and get the guy's goal and get his present time GPM, of course you list for those things. Always be suspicious that you haven't got it. You might be 12 pairs away from the top ones, even though it looks like the top one, but keep trying for them. Keep moving them up. You can always take what you get as the top, run down to the bottom of that bank to its goal and run it out and then go back and find the top. And you will be surprised how much top there was still on the bank. This is good programming. But the main point I'm trying to make you is that is the zone where the PC's interest is. That is the zone where the PC's attention is. That is the zone which produces the over-restimulation that makes PCs almost impossible to audit. And that's the zone and area that you're trying to crack. And it fits in across the lines technically and otherwise. And when they blow, you have never seen quite the same result on your PC as when you get the real top PT GPM and the two top op terms for it, and really get the pair that are really there, not the ones you thought they were there first, the meter said. But when you really get those, and when you get those top 12, you'll have wondered what you thought a case result was. And I can absolutely guarantee. Remember, you have to be a careful auditor, you have to do a very good job, and you mustn't miss anywhere along this line. Because you do something careless, and you do something stupid, and you do an improper analysis on the goal, and you do an improper analysis on the RIs you find, and you start getting sloppy and goofing up one way or the other, man, you will never have seen such a mess. So you're going for the biggest win and the biggest mess. Therefore, you have to know what you're doing in order to get there. But let me assure you, it is very, very well worth doing. Even the PC who is saying, but I have put it on the list. I put it on the list 20 times. I put it on the list more than 20 times. It's duck eggs. I've put it on the list. Duck feathers, duck eggs, ducking. Oh, well, all right, all right, all right. Barnyards. I've given you the item before, but I'll give it to you again. I'll be nice. Barnyards. Barnyards. Cows, chickens, pigs, horses, farms, farmers, so forth. Geese. Geese eggs. I'll give it to you. All right, I will. Oh, you want me to give it to you? There, I'll give it to you. All right, I don't give it to you first in some other way. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's duck. Duck! Your meter goes, duck. That was 15 pages of hell later. But he will say, even then, it's worth it. Thank you.